From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, July 27th. I'm Jonathan Aul. A bipartisan bill aimed at making it easier to build housing and target corporate landlords has been lauded as the most comprehensive housing law in several decades. But Washington University professor Carol Camp Yeke says the bill doesn't do enough.
It's a nice bill, but it doesn't impact the major factors impacting housing and housing affordability in America.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri discusses the bill and where Camp Yeke believes it comes up short. That's coming up on The Gateway. The two top contenders for Missouri's 1st Congressional District engaged in a fiery back and forth on Friday over campaign spending and support for Israel. Wesley Bell criticized Cori Bush for using campaign funds to pay herself a salary and pay her husband for security work. Bush notes that's legal and that her husband has expertise.
There was an incident, actually, where my life was on the line, where someone was coming for me. My husband was able to save me in that situation.
Bush blasted Bell for being the beneficiary of a multi-million-dollar ad campaign bankrolled by groups supportive of Israel. Bell says Israel still needs United States support, even though he doesn't approve of how they've conducted military operations in Gaza.
But it's important that we stand with our allies in Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, Western Europe.
Democrats in the St. Louis and St. Louis County-based 1st District will decide on the Bell-Bush race on August 4th. You can listen to Bell and Bush's appearance on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air at stlpr.org or wherever you get your podcasts. A longtime educator is vying for the Democratic nomination in the 2nd Congressional District. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on why Joan Von Dross believes she's the best candidate to take on Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagner.
Von Dross spent 30 years teaching in the Clayton and Parkway school districts. She's in favor of expanding programs like Medicare to all Americans and curtailing Donald Trump from continuing the war against Iran. Von Dross contends that in order to beat Wagner, a candidate needs to appeal to more than just Democrats.
We have to find common ground. And right now, the common ground is that we're losing our representative democracy.
Fred Wellman is Von Dross's main opponent in the Democratic primary for the 2nd District, which encompasses 6 St. Louis area counties. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Republican Dave Schatz is trying for a full term as Franklin County's presiding commissioner. Schatz was appointed in March 2025 to replace Tim Brinker. He says if elected, he hopes to push towards a more affordable Franklin County.
When you go to the grocery store, it is very, very concerning, especially if you're trying to feed a family. Hopefully we can see that inflation and some of those prices begin to return to something that's more, what I would believe, more reasonable.
Schatz says one way to increase affordability is to not ask for unnecessary taxpayer money. Sean Noel and former presiding commissioner Ed Hillhouse are challenging Schatz in the August 4th primary. You can learn more about candidates in many races and propositions and amendments in STLPR's Voters Guide. That's at stlpr.org. Sweltering dangerous heat has once again hit the St. Louis Public Radio listening areas this week. Heat indexes could reach as high as 115 in some areas. An extreme heat warning is in effect for St. Louis and Quincy until 9 o'clock tonight and for Rolla until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. The National Weather Service has also put a heat advisory in effect for our entire area until tomorrow at 7 p.m. The service is advising residents stay hydrated, avoid the sun, stay in air-conditioned spaces, and check on elderly neighbors. As the region sees more long stretches of extreme heat, we're likely to see more water main breaks. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Rebecca Thiel reports, in an older city like St. Louis, it's an especially big problem.
Water shoots out of Choteau Avenue like a geyser during July 4th weekend. This water main break came just weeks after another that closed Interstate 44 for days. Extreme heat can put stress on metal water pipes at a time when water demand is also higher. St. Louis Deputy Commissioner of Water Spencer Gould says these main breaks have been trending up. Last year, the city had a record of about 400.
Here in St. Louis, unfortunately, you know, we're double that national average of breaks per mile. We have a lot. It is a challenge. But for the first time in a long time, we now have money and funds to address it, and we will.
The city aims to replace several water mains through a recent rate increase and $40 million in Rams settlement money. I'm Rebecca Thiel, St. Louis Public Radio.
Black women in St. Louis City and County are dying from breast cancer at higher rates than white women, even though the disease occurs in both at similar rates. That's one of the findings from a new study from the nonprofit Gateway to Hope, examining the region's breast cancer screening capacity. Katie Manga is the CEO of the Breast Health nonprofit. She says the region has an abundance of cancer screening resources, and yet they're severely underutilized due to barriers to access.
There aren't enough appointments in the right places. Appointments aren't available after hours, which is really difficult for the working population. All of those things are barriers that we can also address with workforce, with better locations and different locations of care.
The study also found late-stage cancer diagnoses more common in low-income and largely Black zip codes. A bipartisan federal bill lauded as the most comprehensive housing measure in several decades recently became law. It aims to make it easier to build housing while targeting corporate landlords who buy up thousands of homes. But one Washington University professor and housing expert says the bill doesn't go far enough. St. Louis Public Radio's economic development reporter Kayvon Mansouri spoke with Carol Camp Yeeke about why she believes the bill doesn't tackle housing affordability.
Carol, can you talk a little bit about how you feel this bill doesn't really get at the heart of the affordability issues when it comes to housing?
It doesn't meet the issues of housing affordability. The key drivers of housing affordability are those exclusionary zoning restrictions and laws. They're called snob laws, S-N-O-B. Not in my backyard. We don't want multifamily housing here. That's number one. And the stagnant wage rates that can't meet the cost of housing.
Let's dive a little deeper into that. What do you feel is missing?
The bill does not address probably the two key major impediments to housing affordability, because essentially this bill is to offset housing affordability in America. What it doesn't do is impact the two key factors which impact housing affordability in America. And the first is that they don't provide any solution for the restrictive housing and zoning rules and regulations, largely on the local level, which prevent certain kinds of housing, multifamily unit housing, in the places where family needs them the most. The second factor that the bill does not touch is the fact that housing costs have risen faster than base wage rates and baseline salaries. So unless you're impacting wage rates and unless you're impacting local zoning rules and laws that exclude multifamily housing where they're needed and where people want to live, it's a nice bill, but it doesn't impact the major factors impacting housing and housing affordability in America.
One thing the bill does do is it takes aim at investors or corporate landlords and limits their ability to purchase homes. You're working on a book about that very topic currently.
The vernacular relative to housing used to be buy low and sell high. Now, for corporate investors, it's buy low and rent high, because there's no limit on rent increases in terms of local, state, or federal legislation. So what you're doing is that you're having a market that is continuing to progress and unfortunately exploit those at the bottom of the economic ladder who can least afford it. Many of these corporate investors, what they want to do, what they can do, if they see a house for sale, they'll go in and they'll make a cash offer. And in making a cash offer to the owner, how does one compete with that if you're an individual who works at Burger King, or even you're a public school teacher, or even you're someone returning from the military working in, say, even the post office? How do you compete with a cash offer? And many times the cash offers are two and three times more than the asking price. So just the inability to match what the corporate investors can provide for a homeowner is impossible.
That was Washington University professor Carol Camp Yeke speaking with STLPR economic development reporter Kayvon Mansour. Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.